station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. It's Wednesday, March 20th, and we're back.
We are back.
God, we take so many friggin' vacations.
Hey, you know, I know.
People are like, when are you on, when are you not on, you know?
I know. I'm not going anywhere for a while.
Okay, well, that's cool. At least we're involved in all kinds of exciting things, so that's a good thing, you know?
God, and we're, like, booked till, like, mid-April.
Yeah.
I'm trying to squeeze people in here and there and moving people around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's cool. You were out of town for about 10 days.
Yeah. So I went to, as we talked about before, I went to John of God, which I have been organizing for the past 6 months to do. And it was pretty incredible. I mean, it was in Toronto and it was over the weekend. It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Excuse me. But I got there early to, you know, help set up. And we had, I mean, people came in from all over the place, and over 100 people came over from the Casa, which is in Brazil. So it was just a lot of pre-setting up and press conferences and all kinds of craziness. My mom came.
Oh, really?
So that was fun. Yeah, so she was there, so that was really cool. yeah, it was intense, and it was actually incredible, and I wasn't sure, you know, being in the spiritual world, and you know me, like, I want to give everyone the benefit of the doubt, and but I am skeptic of, well, this person cures this person
cures
that.
Yeah, especially cancer and things like that, yeah.
And even though, you know, I work with reconnective healing, I've seen people get up after healings. I've seen them be cured of cancer from reconnective healing. I've seen it. Like,
right.
And not just me, I've heard tons of stories from, you know, people that have helped people. So, and you hear stories from all kinds of healing aspects. So when it comes to John of God, and I hear that, you know, Wayne Dyer got cured of cancer and all this stuff, so that sounds incredible. So it's like, I want to believe it, but I'm not sure until I'm in front of him. So I want to, like, test out my own, you know, what I think the energy is.
Yeah.
And I will say that it was an incredible event. We had the entire convention center. So one room was a huge room of, I guess it was like, they gave instructions of what was going to happen, and then, like, a pre-meditation. A beautiful singer named Kana, who is absolutely incredible. I think she's located here in LA. We'll have to have her in sometime. Just absolutely amazing. She sings in Portuguese. She also speaks English, but the record was done here. I mean, it was, her music is, like, just wow. Like, it sounds like, I can't explain it. Just, like, kind of like, not church music, but, like, that octave, I guess, but very meditative. I can't really, I don't know, I can't explain it.
I know what you mean.
But
you
it was incredible. Something. So then you go in, you line up, and you go through, and John of God's in another room. And we have this thing, I forget what current it's called, where you can go in, and so he's there, and he's got a group of mediums that sit around him and hold the current, because they have to hold the energy for so long, because he incorporates spirits into him, is what happens. He's a medium, trans medium. So when his eyes are normally brown, when he incorporates spirits, they turn blue.
Really?
Yes. Wow. It's really weird. So when he's incorporated, he's sitting there, and you can't break the current, because he'll snap out of it, and it's just like, you can't. It's really hard to go in and out.
Right.
So once he's in, he's in. And it's got to last for several hours, because there's thousands of people to be seen. And it's quick, but there's the thing called the current. So you've got several mediums where Gail Thackray, who we've had on the show, and I helped do a lot for, she actually got chosen to be one of the head mediums. So that was actually pretty intense. She had said that when she was there, she thought it was only, like, you know, 5-10 minutes that she was there, and 5 hours later, and she's like,
5 hours?
5 hours.
Wow.
From 7:30 to 12:30, she was like, what just happened? Like, they had to actually wake her up out of it. It was very interesting.
Wow.
And that happened to me a little bit in the meditation side. But anyway, there's this, the current area where very, very high energy light people, I would say, or medium types, would be in that room holding that energy, that space. And so people come through one at a time. It's a line. quickly. Mm-hmm. And so you're sitting, let's say you're John of God or whatever, you're sitting there on this chair and just looking at people as they pass by. And I will say, as soon as I got to, there was a room behind that, I felt, it was like, boom, like you feel the energy and you're like, whoa, really? What's going on? Oh, yeah, wow. It's weird. So then it gets stronger and stronger, and then you're in front of him and it's like, you're so high, like you just feel so high, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And you kind of, you leave the room, you see him and, you know, and you look at him or whatever and you just kind of like turn the corner and there's a meditation room. And the meditation was pretty incredible. And they have this thing called spiritual surgeries, where in Brazil he does physical surgeries. He's kind of known for literally cutting people open with saws and knives.
Really?
And cutting pieces out and sewing it back up. Like, it's really weird and gruesome, but you can't do that over in Canada or anything.
Yeah.
So it was called spiritual surgeries. Where it's still kind of, they say, a surgery, where if you have cancer, if you have something, you don't see it. It's on a spiritual type level, where the spirits go in and fix you up, whatever. You need to hold an intention, you know, in your head, and, you know, you're supposed to be cured of it. But the thing is, see, I don't really believe that either. I believe kind of, that's why not everyone's healed. It's kind of not what you want. It's kind of the same as reconnective healing, I feel like, in a way. It's kind of whatever the universe feels you need, or whatever, you know, is coming through. Like, you may think, like, for example, like, my leg was broken, and I'm like, I want it healed. And it wasn't happening, but all these other things were happening inside of me, which I needed more than I needed my foot to be healed at that time, you know? So I think it's kind of the same thing. Anyway, so I went and sat down, and you either get a physical surgery or you can just sit there and meditate. And I will say that, you know, my mother was next to me and she just started bawling. She doesn't know where, she's like, I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know why I'm crying.
Right.
Because it's a lot of releases that go through, because, you know, for me, I believe disease in the body is disease. It's grief that you hold on to, or guilt, or, you know, many different things that cause ailments in the body. So when you're there and you're in this high energy and it's being released, released from different parts of the body. It's emotional, a lot of it. So anyway, different people react different ways. I was sitting there and I felt sick, and I feel fine. Like, I'm not sick. I'm never sick. Like, I sat there and I felt so sick, like I wanted to puke. Like, that's it though. That wasn't anything else. It was just like, I felt it coming up my body, and I was gonna either projectile vomit on people in front of me, or I was going to swallow it. And I wasn't sure. Like, but your eyes are closed. You can't, because they want you to stay in that meditative state. And I'm like, I'm not. And I'm talking to myself inside my head, like, should I just projectile vomit? No one will know. Or like, just go on the floor and clean it up later. Or do I swallow it? Like, what do you do?
Yeah.
You know. And so I'm like, it's so sick. And so then I'm like, okay, please go away. Like, and then I just kind of went away. It was weird. And then I felt like kind of like a pressure, or it was weird, like squeezing kind of my head. And that's how I feel when I get reconnective healing. So I feel like it's similar. It's like, I felt it pressure on my head, like my head was being squeezed, and then my throat, like I was being kind of slightly choked, and I was uncomfortable with it. And then like pushed on my chest. It kind of went down on my chakras. It was very weird. And I felt it, and I was shocked that it kind of went in that order. I wasn't sure what to expect.
Right.
And then I felt like a lot of like pressure, you know, each area all the way down my body. And then it just, I don't know, I was high as hell. And pretty much. And then next thing you know, they're like, okay, well, this section, because he comes in and then he does blessings over each section. So then they're like, okay, well, your spiritual surgeries are done. Meditation's done. You may leave and go into this room for instructions. So I got up and I'm like, I don't know if I can even walk. Like, I am so high. Like, it's, and there's only been a couple times where I've felt that way in my life. And it's from yoga, certain yoga, meditative states, you know, like it was really intense.
Yeah.
So then I was zonked and I went and I passed out for, I don't even know how long. It was pretty awesome. So I did experience that, when I was in that room with him. No, I've passed by him when he wasn't incorporated, you know, before we were setting up, and I just shook his hand and said hello. And, you know, you feel like it's just normal.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Not like, he's a higher energy, but nothing like that intense like I did there. So that was pretty interesting. Now, do I believe in the rules they have? No.
No, huh?
No, I don't.
Okay.
You know, there are rules where you can't have, this is funny, and you'll laugh. You can't have sex for 40 days. If you have a spiritual surgery for the first time, you can't have sex for 40 days. You can't raise your energy for 40 days. No exercise. You can't drink. And you can't have peppers, like hot spicy.
Well, it better be worth it.
Your energy.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really believe that, because I personally, or, and they're saying it might not work. Well, here's my thing. I don't believe that, because I believe that if you're having a universal godlike energy, whatever you want to call it, healing, mm-hmm. and they give it to you and you receive that, God energy or universal energy is not going to take that away because I decided to have a cocktail. Mm. I'm sorry. I don't believe that. I really do not believe that.
But you also don't understand how the forces work.
No, I don't. And you're right. But I feel that, I don't know, I also have, I manifest quickly. Whatever I think usually happens. Mm. I'm very powerful in that sense to where if I don't believe it, I don't believe it. That's bullshit to me. Mm. And so maybe for other people that are new into this whole scene, that's what they have to go through. But I don't personally believe that. I think it's bullshit, and that's like you're high, you're like so high up here from getting all these crazy amazing energies, and then you're gonna bring yourself back down to thinking, like, I feel like it's like a lower vibration to think that. I know that sounds weird to you, but that's how I feel. So anyway, everyone, and then there's like, you have to drink this water, this and that. I'm like, I don't have to drink anything. Like, I don't believe that.
Yeah.
I got the energy, I got the energy.
You only subscribe to whatever you want.
Well, I wound up being on the plane because I got in this huge discussions with people there. Like, I don't believe it. I think that is wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that you're trying to make these rules to make it like a following thing. I mean, I went everywhere with this, you know?
Yeah.
And I just absolutely think that it's completely retardedly ridiculous, because the same thing with like, okay, even like reconnective healing, if I go and I heal you, I can go to, or you heal me, I can drink a cocktail, nothing's gonna happen.
Right.
I can go and have sex, nothing's gonna, I mean, it doesn't have anything to do.
Right.
I don't get that. I think it's completely retarded, asinine. So I wound up and I talked to you know what I mean, I'd give you my honest opinion.
Yeah.
I talked to one of the guides who happened to be on the plane from Toronto to New York Sunday. When I went to New York, I had stuck in New York for a day. Monday morning. And I asked him why these rules. Mm. And he said, and this is confirming my thoughts. Mm. He said, because you are so opened up at that point, that energy are so opened up, that if you were to have sex or workout or whatever, you're so open that bad energies could come into you.
Mm.
I don't believe that. I'm sorry, I don't believe a bad energy is going to come take over my body. I really don't. I think that sounds ridiculous. Right. Same thing with alcohol. Now, when I was younger, I used to kind of believe that, growing up in Catholic school and thinking, oh, you're susceptible to demons and this and that. I think that if you have high vibration and you think positive, that's not going to happen to you.
Right.
If you think negative, then negative is going to happen. Yeah. So it was confirming what I thought, and he's like, that's the only reason. And I'm like, okay, thank you. I'm going to go have a cocktail now.
Yeah.
So, you know, anyway.
Cool. All right. Well, we've got to move the show along and stuff. So I see our guest is calling. But before that, I want to introduce our beautiful guest in the studio. And let me bring up your mic. Drea Bauer, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Drea. Good morning.
His name is Drea.
Oh, it is Drea. I remember from the last interview. Sorry. Yeah. So thank you for joining us. We'll introduce everything in a few minutes. And, let's just say you're an online dating expert, probably general dating expert too.
Yes, sir.
And you wrote a book and everything called Mismatch. And we'll cover that in a minute and everything, but let's just take the call, although she just hung up. So, but thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
And you were on the show on the phone about a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we talked about that, and then we felt there's probably a lot more to talk about dating and everything. I'm sure there's never... You never run out of things to say about dating,
no.
You know?
I mean, or relationship, men
or
and women in general.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. So, that's awesome. So, when did you write your book?
I finished it about a year ago, and then we've been in the process of getting it, you know, with a publisher and getting it edited and all those good things. So.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Well, here's our guest. So, let's take her, and then we'll come back to you and cover everything.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead. Hello?
Hello, this is Carolyn.
Yes, Carolyn. Carolyn Hauser, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Where are you calling us from this morning?
From Santa Barbara.
Oh, Santa Barbara. Wow. You see, some people know where to live.
What are we doing in LA? I'll be there on Saturday.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, thank you for calling us. You're involved in a few things, and you wrote a book called Blossom Your Seven-Step Journey to Healing Childhood Sexual Abuse. So this is obviously a serious subject, not to be taken lightly. And so How did this book come about, Carolyn?
That's a very good question. I'm a German-trained psychotherapist and naturopathic doctor, and have been working in the field of helping people for a long time, for 15 years, almost 15 years. And 4 years ago, when my daughter turned three, memories of my early abuse started to surface, and it really threw me for a hoop, and I had to find a way to get back to my life, basically. And so the book very much came out of my own need, and then also just really feeling like there is a big need for women and men on this planet to really heal this issue and help them to get into a place where they can feel good about themselves and feel whole and really live the life that they were meant to be.
Right. So you didn't have any recollection, you didn't even suspect you had any sexual abuse until your daughter turned three. Is that what you're saying? You never even suspected, or?
Yeah, I had some encounters during my teenage years, and I worked through that during my training. So when I was in my late 20s and 30s, I really thought I had worked through everything and, you know, was good to go, and I did have no recollection of the early abuse.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really quick, so that I can go online to your site. What is your website, or where can I find your?
It's my book is blossombook.com, and my personal website is carolynhauser.com. That's spelled carolynhauser.com.
Right.
Thank you.
So, wow. So you've dealt with it before, but now it really brought memories to you. How did you uncover this? Did you go to a professional and help them uncover this for you, or did you do it all yourself?
That's a good question. Well, first I started really having really strange feelings and just feeling really depressed and not knowing what to do. And so I did go to several professionals, and they were very reserved and did not know what to do with me. Some of them even said, you can really never be sure what happened. And even if you are able to recover memories in therapy, you can't be sure. So that was my first encounter. And that made me feel very helpless, of course, because yeah, I was really looking for help and not knowing how to help myself, and these people didn't even, weren't encouraging. And so finally I found a man who was willing to do what's called like a regression with me, and it's kind of like hypnotherapy, where he put me into a trance and went back with me, and I started seeing some scenes from my childhood. And what this man said, that it's really not so important to get the pictures and get the full memory. What's more important is to realize that if this is something that you feel in your being has happened to you, and if when there's a situation, when a friend talks about it, or if you see it in the news and you are somehow activated, your nervous system gets to flutter and, you're losing your voice and your breath, then you can be sure that trauma has happened, because it is something that's in your nervous system.
Mm.
So rather than working with these memories and talking about it, he really was the first one to point me into the direction of really working with the body and working with these body memories.
Right. So did all the memories come back? I mean, everything you pretty much remembered. What age were you?
It started when I was three, so, it's very hard to tell. Yeah, it's very hard to tell what really happened.
That's true. And I mean, it's amazing you even were able to remember it afterwards,
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
How is that? I mean, just, curious, I'm sure it has, but has it affected your relationships, romantically?
Yes, my relationships had always been a struggle, and now I know why, mm-hmm. because obviously when something like this happens, you lose your trust and in men and in general.
Yeah.
And right. So that's all projected onto whoever you're in relationship with. So,
right.
Yeah.
So I guess
like
releasing that has helped you be more confident and feel better in like a personal,
Yeah, and actually, my marriage was falling apart at that point, and I'm happy to say that we've been able to work through it, and we're back together, and we have a second child, and it's going really well. So,
aww,
yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. So what kind of feelings do you get when you think about these things? I mean, obviously, you have to really feel bad for the little child, that went through this. And what does it do to you when you remember something like this?
What was really interesting to me was that a lot of people have been saying, you know, you have this suppressed anger and finally, you know, you're getting in touch with this anger. And so I was expecting to get in touch with my anger. And surprisingly, though, there was not a lot of anger when I finally got in touch with the feelings. Mm-hmm. There was just huge confusion, huge amount of confusion. And so it really, the healing really requires of oneself that to be present to those feelings, you know, and just really let them be and say, okay, this just was really confusing for me, and I see that now, and I allow that. I don't have to be the strong one anymore.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Now, you talk about the blossom journey. Do you want to explain to us briefly what that is?
Yeah, so, you know, basically what has helped me is to really go through a process that was systematically starting with reconnecting with my own little self and helping that part to really come out in trust, and what that translates to in my all-day, everyday life is to hear what my needs are and really make sure that my needs are getting heard and met, because oftentimes when people are victims of abuse, you know, what they wanted didn't matter. So in real life, in our time, it's really important for myself that I really take myself seriously and make myself first priority. So that's the first step. And then the next step, once you have that connection, then you also will find that you're more connected to your intuition, and then you can start creating your life from, you know, from a more inspired and guided way, and that will help you to really get back to your authentic life.
Right.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I guess if you don't address it, it's always going to stay with you, you know, and haunt
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, also being a naturopath, like, you know, too, that, again, like, those emotions that are stored in your body are what causes other things.
Exactly. And just, you know, to give myself an example again, I actually got very, very sick in the process, and my adrenals completely depleted, and the whole hormonal imbalance, because what most of us women do, we really shut off from our feminine energy, from our feminine side, because that was what brought us into danger in the first place. So mm-hmm. we completely negate that.
Right.
And so our body really suffers from that, because we are feminine creatures and we need our creativity and our sensuality and all of that to be healthy and alive.
Right.
Right.
Now, did you ever get a chance? I mean, you probably know who it was that molested you and stuff, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, did you confront them at all?
Well, in
this?
My case, it was my grandfather, and he had already passed on.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
And in the other case, in my teenage years, we around that time, the guy we confronted him, and he was very sorry, and I'm sure he's still carrying that burden with him. And so and with my grandfather, I feel very much like, and this is what I believe is the case in general, is that we pick, you know, before we come into this life, we pick certain people that help us really fulfill our missions. So
right.
The way I see it now is that my grandfather really helped me to come to this greater level of awareness, and through having to work through this issue, and with that, you know, helping many people. So I'm, you know, I feel like from the spirit world, he's really supporting me and mm-hmm. really helping me to get this message out.
Right. Well, that's a great way to look at it,
no,
you know, to help you
yeah.
heal.
Absolutely, because then you wouldn't be where you are now, and then you wouldn't be helping others how to heal from it.
Exactly.
Right. Well, wonderful. Yeah. So your relationship now is okay?
It's good. It's more than okay.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Well, that's what we wanted to know. Okay. Well, Carolyn Hauser, this is very fascinating. I know that just from reading and stuff that a lot of women go through this, or girls, and then they grow up and their whole life is screwed up because of it. And,
exactly.
You know, so it's a very sad thing. And gladly you're acknowledging this and you're addressing it, you know.
Yes.
So when is your book being released?
Tomorrow, actually. So
oh, wow.
It's going to be a big celebration and, yeah.
Awesome.
Big party here.
Yeah, it's like your little baby, right?
Oh, yeah. That's been a long birth.
All right, everybody go to carolynhauser.com or blossombook.com and
yeah.
Find out more about what we've been talking about. Sounds fascinating. And Carolyn, good luck with the book. I know it's a great time for you to finally see it, you know, see it coming out. So.
Yes.
All the best to you, and congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you, thank you. And actually, if people buy the book tomorrow, 50% of the profits will go to VDay.org, which is the worldwide organization that helps end violence against women and girls. Aww. And there's going to be a lot of great bonuses for people to get, too.
Great. So people can get the book on the website?
Yes. Okay. Slothandbook.com. Through that website, they will be able to get it tomorrow.
Sounds good. Okay, Carolyn, thank you so much, and all the best to you.
Thank you, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, fascinating stuff. I always want to hear about these things because it's just so profound, the effect
yeah.
that it has on people.
No, you know? I agree.
Yeah. Well, okay, so much for that. Now, because it can get depressing, you
yeah.
know? I mean, when you think about it, the three-year-old, you know?
I think what's inspiring about her story is the way she used it.
Yeah.
You know, people either use these experiences to propel them in life or to hold them back. So
right.
It's all in what we do with everything that we go through, and she's using hers in a positive way to change others' lives.
Right, mm-hmm. yeah. I agree
great.
With this. You know, I mean, if you view life spiritually, then I think I agree that you kind of choose the people in your life when you're going to come in
yeah,
so
absolutely.
They can challenge you
yeah.
so you can learn the lessons you're mm-hmm. supposed to learn. I don't know. At least it's convenient to think that way.
Well, I absolutely, definitely. I mean, I see it now, and it's funny because I was told that every person in my life has been someone that I've been with before in a past life. And it's funny mm-hmm. because I know you think this is crazy, but I get these visions where I've seen where these people come from. Not everyone, but mm-hmm. certain people. And it's funny, and then kind of I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, this person I met helped me get here, and this person, I mean, every person in my life has helped me get somewhere in my life, whether it be spiritually mm. or moving or romantically or, I mean, anything, you know,
right.
just work. So anyway,
that's true.
You look at your life. Look
yeah.
at your heart.
I think it was Steve Jobs that said if you connect the dots going backwards, it's very easy to see where you end up and how it all
Did
works.
Did you see that? See that?
And how
genius.
It all plans out. But if you look at everything as a lesson, then it serves you, and it's not just,
right.
you know, oh my God, why did this happen to me? But if you change the question into,
right.
you know, how does this serve me? What do I gain from it? How much have
right.
I learned, and where can I go from here?
Yeah, that's true. Now, you wrote a book, too.
Yes,
congratulations to you.
Thank you.
And so tell us about the book. It's called Mismatch, Become the Queen of Online Dating in a Skinny Minute.
Correct. It's a self-development guide to online dating. So it has all the best self-development principles I've ever learned wrapped up in this online dating structure, because online dating is actually a great way to learn about yourself and about the opposite sex.
Really? Wow.
See, I just, yeah, and I was always, I've never done online dating.
Uh-huh.
I've helped friends like do it. I think I created a profile once, but I never did anything with it, because then I started realizing when I was casting for Millionaire Matchmaker,
uh-huh.
and I signed up for, you know, a couple of the sites because I was looking for men for, you know, the site. And I'm telling you, in the first couple minutes, I got bombarded with thousands of emails from all these
wow.
guys, and the majority of them were disgusting.
Really?
The majority of them
but
were
But it
like,
only takes one.
That's true.
But so, like, I was
so... You gotta
so,
go through a lot, huh?
I was so completely turned off and disgusted
wow.
by... And I wasn't even looking to match up. I can't imagine if I was looking to be with someone. I mean, it already disgusted me, and it hurt me so much to... just be like, wow, these men, like, $5,000 offers to, like, come sleep with them
Whoa.
Tonight or to appear
well,
on a date.
Or,
no, like, I mean...
Maybe I'm on the wrong side.
Yeah, you're on the wrong side.
It
there
was
you go.
Crazy. And I'm laughing because I'm casting for something, but I'm like, wow. And I was like, that guy, that's who I want on the show. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But in another way, if I... That's what scared the hell out of me, to be like, I could never go online dating because... You just never know.
You don't, but I know how you are now because I've met you in person, and you are a very good judge of character, and you have a great intuition, so you know how to read a man. You can look at the pictures and look at their profile and read into what they're saying to know if it's going to be a good fit or not. Now, you do have to filter through because you're a gorgeous woman, so of course they're all going to want to go out with you.
Right.
What a quality problem.
Yeah.
So you say that's what guys do most is guys, first of all, look at the looks, right?
Men
and the appearance.
Are very visual. This goes back to nature nurture. Men are very visually drawn because, you know, they're looking for the hair, the skin, the qualities, you know, for childbirth. And this is instinctual. It's not just, you know,
right, by nature.
Men are more, yes, visually drawn than women. Women are typically looking for more of a, you know, a safe, structured type environment if they're looking for long term.
Right. Mm-hmm. So
right.
that's why a pretty woman would get bombarded with thousands of emails because, you know, she stands out. Everybody's like, wow, look, she's hot. But everybody's hitting on her, so your chances are probably nil to be able to even be seen.
Well, that's not true, because if you have the, again, because women are not as visual, they're going to look at the whole profile. So depending on what you say,
but if they get like 100 the first day, they're not going to go through all of them. I can't imagine.
I did because I had to, because I was looking for the webcast. But I will tell you that I would click on the certain profile pictures, or it would be what you said in a, it would, all the disgusting ones, the ones that were kind of normal, I'd be like, oh, I'll talk to you, you know, because, you know, and like some of the disgusting ones would be like, oh, you'll be funny for the show, but I kind of was like, yeah, it was, and I will say this too, men do not know what photos to put online.
that can be an issue for men and women, actually.
Yeah, I think women too.
What? Why would you put that online?
Mismatch does have some tips in it, because one thing you don't want to do is put a lot of extraneous stuff.
Yeah.
And as a woman, I advise other women to look at a man's pictures and see what else is in the background, because you can tell about their home environment, if their dirty clothes all over the floor, or, you know, lots of other people, animals. They tend to be distracting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. I mean, you probably want to put, like, face shots and stuff so people can see what...
And not in
like
the mirror.
Oh, my God. There are those... Yeah,
with the phone.
With their shirt off, looking at their abs, and I'm like... Really? Wow, who's narcissistic here? Or there's ones with like them, every shot there's a cocktail, and you're like...
But that's a good, again, a good indication.
Yeah.
And see, you are reading in other things into their pictures, and you're learning other things about them. So if you're creating a profile or looking at others, you want to look at the stuff in the surroundings, but you don't want to have a bunch of that stuff if you're putting up your own profile.
Right.
And then I went, a little deeper, and then I saw these photos that clearly were really old photos. Mm-hmm. And you know they're old photos. And I'm thinking... Do you have a disillusioned view of yourself? You know what I mean? And
probably.
Then I start thinking, like, does that mean you have a disillusioned view on everything in life?
Oftentimes, they'll mix in younger with older because they want to look great, too. Because, again, women still are, you know, there's still a chemistry that you get from a visual. So a lot of times, they'll mix in old and new pictures. So I always advise, look at the one that you're least attracted to and assume that may be your date. Mm-hmm. And if it is that an acceptable level of attraction to you?
Right, exactly. This is like the minimum.
But we know that chemistry is made up of a lot more than just physical looks. So when you get in front of someone, all those submodalities, the way they move, the tone of their voice, the inflections, all those things are a chemical connection as well. So you really can't judge until you get live in person.
And that's what I mean. You know, when you're on online dating and stuff, you don't really know, you don't have all that chemistry thing until you meet them.
You're right.
You have to go like through a laundry list or sort of like an application, and you check off things that you like, you know. So it seems kind of artificial to me.
Well, why is it artificial? It's just a new day and age. So the way that we're communicating is different. You know, for years, like people didn't even talk to you and grunted, you know.
Right.
So now we have all this new technology that allows...
Wait, say that again.
Right. No, but I mean, but can you pick someone just based on things that they write or they say?
Well, you pick a job applicant on that, don't you? That's how you pre-screen. So this
pre-screen is
just... Online is just a pre-screen, and it gives you a feel. And, you know, again, if you have intuition, which we all do, whether we're more attuned to it or not... You can kind of judge, okay, this guy feels really positive, or, oh, he's been scorned before. So you pre-screen, then you talk to him on the phone, which is another screen mechanism. And then what you want to do is get in front of him on a real-life date. And we've all been set up on blind dates. It's no different than, you know, Jenny down the block who thinks she... you know, has the perfect match for us. How is that any different? I think I'm a little bit better at judging who I'm interested than, you know, someone I barely know, so.
Yeah. Now, I would imagine there's probably like a disparity in the percentage of men and women online. Is that correct?
There do tend to be more men online, but there may be different sites that have more women. Like, again, there are sites for everything, sports.
Even for farmers
and
stuff.
There are thousands of sites now with millions.
For Apple lovers and Apple employees.
Probably.
Right?
If I had known.
Yeah, there is. I saw it.
I would have been on a sports site.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had known.
Yeah.
But I don't need to. I found
an amazing
person.
Somebody's creating a mystical site now that is
for
people that are more aligned to kind of my school of thinking.
Well,
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really cool.
Yeah. So you've been actually using online dating, I would imagine, so you can talk and write about it and everything. Now, what are some of the challenges on there that you find?
Well, I think the age thing is a challenge, because men always want women like 30, 40 years younger. So, you know, that's sometimes a pre-screening thing for them, and vice versa. Sometimes, you know, instead of screening for the person in front of you or what they look like or whatever. They screen for youth and vitality in a, you know, in a number. And so
right.
it's a filtering mechanism just like everything else. I think the income becomes a very sensitive issue for people because, you know, when you meet somebody out at a bar, you don't say, how much money do you make?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you
We'd
know.
Be surprised in L.A.
But I think it's great as far as things like, you know, religion, because a lot of people, that is, you know, an extreme priority and they mm-hmm. have to have somebody with the same religion.
Right.
So there's some beautiful gifts within that as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, like J-Date and Christian Mingle mm-hmm. now they mm-hmm. have and all this stuff. So what are some of the sites that you recommend? I mean, you've probably been on several of them.
Yeah, I tend to like bigger sites because just by volume of people, particularly,
right.
I mean, you get so many. It's kind of like why I like being in L.A. and Charleston. L.A. is so broad and there's so many different kinds of people. So it allows, and for people that, you know, maybe aren't sure or maybe they think they know what they want. Mm. And then they go out with something completely opposite and they're stimulated.
Right.
So
right.
Again, it's what I call my Groundhog Day approach. You try something. If it doesn't work on the next guy, you can try something completely opposite.
Yeah.
Until you find something that feels good for you and you can tell it's getting the response you want.
That's true. Now, have you talked to men who have been on these sites as
Absolutely.
Well and stuff? Okay, so now what are the – I can't imagine that a man would get like hundreds of emails like the women do, right? Or do they?
Typically, just again, this goes back to nature. Men are the aggressors. They're the pursuers.
The pursuers,
so they generally,
right.
Yeah. But I have talked to them a lot because I have something in my book and I advise women not to initiate contact if they do nothing more than a wink or even just look at their profile because mm-hmm. men go and see who's been viewing their profile
right.
and then
yeah.
they'll reach out. Because, again, it does seem to be still nature that men pursue. Like, mm-hmm. you know, there's a thing about leaning back. Now, you don't want to not show interest because you've got to, it's got to be a mutual thing. But in my experience and every man and woman I've talked to, it seems like it works better when the man is pursuing the woman. And,
is it really? Wow.
You know,
That's interesting.
It's
no,
kinda,
I mean,
you know, it's kind of
even
hot.
In this day and age, it's
yeah.
like that. Yeah. But I think it's
yeah.
a tradition. I think women like that too.
I love
you know?
It because
yeah.
I'm so charmed by a man who opens my door and gets up when I stand up.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful, and I love that there's this polarity of the sexes. I don't want to be a man. I'm so thankful that I can work and have a job and do these things. But
I'm
actually,
thankful for the free drinks.
But I think it's such a beautiful gift that we're not the same, and I don't want to be the same.
Yeah. Right. So, but I would imagine there's some more assertive women and stuff that sort of like try to take control, and maybe there's some guys that like that.
Certainly, and usually for the more assertive masculine woman, it's usually a more feminine guy.
Oh,
so
really?
You got to be careful
yeah.
about that.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they can get a super powerful guy, but in today's age, things are just different. You know, more women are going to school. Women are in very powerful jobs. So, you know, we don't want to do that all the time. I'm an attorney, right? I live mm-hmm. in a man's world. I ran a practice for many, many years and had a bunch of men working for me, but I don't want to go home to my lover and be the man. I want,
right.
you know, I want to be able to slip into my feminine and really enjoy it, you know,
right.
wear a dress and dance around in my heels and let him, you
yeah.
know, treat me
yeah.
like a princess.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I still think that that doesn't negate the fact that if a woman is interested, she can show some signs that she is.
I would agree. I would just
right?
say that you need to do it less overtly.
Right.
And it's just like we do when we're out, like what women have done for hundreds of years. You know, they bat their eyes or
right.
they twirl their hair or they lick their lips.
Play hard to get.
Yeah. They show them in a very subtle, you
right.
know, maybe sensual way that they're interested without saying, hey, would you like my number?
Yeah.
I swear, I've tried it both ways. It doesn't work.
Really?
Yeah.
To be aggressive, just it doesn't work.
Yeah. So you have to be more like, oh, you mean for a woman?
Yes.
Oh,
it's,
yeah. Aggressive,
yeah.
maybe not. But assertive, I think, is something that's welcome by men, you know?
Again, I would say be assertive in a feminine way.
Right. Mm.
So it's like when I'm in the car and I'm like, there's sweat dripping down my head and he doesn't notice. I'm going to just say, oh, it's warm in here. Instead of saying, could you please turn down the
Yeah.
yeah. you know, just find a way that's gentle that, you know.
That's mm-hmm. true, yeah. So you were an attorney before you
And
got
I still
into
am.
This?
I still practice.
Oh, you
before.
Still practice. Mm-hmm. Wow. How did you get into that?
I went to law school.
No,
I was like, she went to law school, really?
Sometimes the guests make me feel stupid. But
it's a silly question.
No, it's not, because what drew you to law?
You know,
that's a better question.
In career day in like kindergarten, I was wearing a suit with a badge that said, you know, Drea Bauer Esquire. And my dad was an attorney, but it was just kind of something that was always in my head, and mm-hmm. I manifested it, honestly, because I never really thought I was smart enough to go, but I thought it for so long, and I took the steps to go, and it happened. And so, you know, I always said if it was my choice, I'd be like a singer and a dancer, but the Lord had other intentions for me. So here I am.
That's cool. And I imagine you meet a lot of men in your line of work and stuff like that. Do you ever date people that you work with and stuff?
Well, I've actually early on was engaged to an attorney, but, you know, again, one of the things I've discovered in like dating so many different kinds of people is I love the diversity and I love people that are different than, you know, you want to have shared values and beliefs, but it's so exciting for me to learn and grow in other areas. So somebody that can push me in, like creative, you know, energy is so great for me because I'm so analytical.
Right.
Which is why I wrote the book.
Yeah. So I would imagine when you get that kind of a rush, from dating and stuff, that you might just fall into this habit of dating all the time and you won't really open up to a connection.
That can happen because, right? You know, people get so stimulated. The first date can be very exciting, right?
Right.
But it's all on what you want long term. And from what I found, at least the people that I connected with, they were really looking for committed relationships. But sometimes it is a thing of, you know, you get to this thing where, you know, the grass is always greener. So you don't want to do that. You know, relationships take work. And that's a natural part of it. Even if it's just a friendship, you know, you have to put the effort in. So, you know, it depends on what you want. But dating on a dating website does not have to mean you're looking for marriage. People do it for all different reasons. And, you know, someone
for dating and stuff like that.
Yeah, someone in their 20s may
Grindr.
So it's not a turn off for a woman if you're just looking for dating and stuff like that?
As long as you're both clear about what you're looking for, absolutely. I was looking for a long-term relationship or marriage. So for me, that's, you know, I'm not looking just, you know, for, you know, a one-night
kind of
thing.
Casual thing,
I feel like I wouldn't go online for, you know, a casual, I don't know.
For people who don't go to work and don't go to school anymore, it is an amazing resource. And that's why I initially started, because I had, you know, semi-retired from running the office. So I wasn't meeting, and I was in a small town, so I wasn't, you know, I go to the grocery store and I do meet men there, and I go to seminars, I meet men there, but I wasn't meeting men in my day-to-day.
Really?
Right. Like I did when I was in school or at work.
So men actually will pick up women in the store, in the grocery store?
Yeah.
How come I never see it happening?
I've had it happen.
I mean, I look around me to see if people do that. I never see a guy walking up to a woman.
It happens often. You'll be like at the stoop area, and then like a guy will like walk by, and then you'll feel him like look at you, and you're like, oh God, here we go. And so if you're open to it or amused by it, you just sit here and you stare at the can a little bit longer, and you wait. 5, 4, 3, 2. So which soup do you think I should get? Should I get this one or this
about.
One? And I'm like here we go.
This is not her first rodeo.
It sounds like a cliche, but I guess
it would
work.
Okay, you want to know why you don't notice? Because men are single focused. Yeah. Men are like, get the soup. They don't notice all the other stuff. Women have diffused awareness, so they're noticing all the other things. Also, a man who is if a man is dating someone, he might not be looking. But people that are looking and are open to meeting someone, you know, so his single focus may have been find woman.
And I notice everything, even though I don't seem like I do. Yeah. Like, but see, I also talk to a wall. Then it's like, you know, I'm in line and I'll turn around.
You're open. Yeah. Men love that.
Will be like, okay, pick for me. I'll turn around and be like, okay, I can't decide chocolate or this. And they think that it's a come on. I thought about that later on.
Women don't do that.
But it's not. I do it all the time. And I'm like, I just can't decide. Like, I really can't decide. I really just need someone to tell me.
That's a feminine thing, too. Like, we can change our mind in a split second. Like, we can be so into a man one moment and he could do something he doesn't even, like, he could breathe wrong and we'd be like, oh, disgusted. This is a very feminine energy, and clearly you're very feminine.
Sometimes. I can be very manly at other times. But it's funny because like, I'll just be – and I just want to – like, I really just can't decide, and I really want – maybe I have in the back of my head what I want. So if you tell me vanilla, then I'm going for chocolate. Yeah. Like it's like it's just weird, but I just need someone else to say it. And I don't care who's behind me. It could be a girl. It could be a guy. It doesn't matter to me. It's just the fact that I just need someone to tell me what – I know that's – but see, most people think that it's like – I'm hitting on them. And then I'm like, oh, shit. Then you feel the guy energy being like, okay, let's keep talking. And I'm like, no, I just want to get out of it. Yeah. I really just wanted to know that.
Well, but that's because, you know, I mean, it's not often that a woman will start talking to you, you know, when you're at the store or whatever. I think because sometimes they think that you will think they're trying to pick you up or
Absolutely.
Something,
we
right?
become closed to protect ourselves.
Right.
But in our natural state, we are very open and loving and to all the women are just very open in general. They're always trying to fill stuff up. Like that's why there's all kinds of knickknacks in their house. And again, that's our energy. We love
I have a lot of shit.
We love and comfort everyone. And we can feel other people's energy. So when somebody is hurting or happy, we can feel it either way. So our natural state is to be very open. But again, especially in a big, scary city, we have to protect ourselves and not be as open. So it's almost like a forced close. But if you're open and receptive, like people just are going to flock to you, men and women, not just men.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm the one that I definitely am caught talking to the wall. Ow. You know, like, how'd you get there? Or like, yeah, I'm just retarded.
Wow. So just in the last few minutes, let's find out a little bit more about you. Where did you grow up?
I'm from South Carolina, so Charleston and Columbia.
Oh, really?
Yay.
Wow.
Yes, beautiful area.
Yeah, it's nice there. So you grew up there, and so what made you leave?
Well, I'm still there as well, so I come back and forth. I love L.A., and the ability to learn and grow out here has just been phenomenal. So I had lived in South Carolina my entire life, so it just I was able to come out here and stretch myself in ways that I couldn't there. Just the teachers and the experiences and just the friendships that I've made out here. I mean, it's just like I click with people out here.
Right. Yeah. No, this is
West Coast. You know?
There's a huge variety of people
there
here.
There is, and it's so beautiful because and people often say, aren't people flakes out there? How do, you know all those superstars?
It can happen, but it depends who you attract.
There are.
Right,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Whoever you're vibrationally in line with is who you draw in. And out here, it has been the women in my life are unbelievable.
Wow.
They're
that's
so talented,
good.
Smart, and they help push me to a higher level of excellence. They really do.
Wow,
so.
That's cool. Yeah. You see, that's the thing is that people badmouth, you know, Angelinos and stuff. But the point is that there's millions of us, you know. I mean, and I've been meeting a lot of great people.
There
you know?
Are some. I mean, I probably was one of those who badmouth a lot of Angelinos. But I've lived here for 10 years, maybe almost 11 years, something like that. Long time. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it all.
Right.
And I get it now. Like, these are lessons that I had to learn around me in order to make myself stronger in whatever ways, or to let go. Ow. I just banged my... or to let go of certain people or certain, you know, things in my life. And I get that now. But have I been burned? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I was...
But that's what happened anyway.
A little too naive. But I think the lesson is I'm trying to not be as naive, but still be open to wonderful people, which is kind of like a hard balance to find, which I'm still trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I can help.
Yeah.
I have lots of amazing girlfriends I'd love to share.
So you've probably dated men in South Carolina and in L.A.
I have.
Do you see a difference?
Absolutely.
Really? Like what?
You know, it's just like a northern guy from a southern guy. You know, southerners are very charming and lovely. Things move slower down there. I go back there and I feel like I don't miss a thing because things are just literally slower down there, which is beautiful. Mm-hmm. But then I get out here and I get ramped up and I get excited. and it's a very creative energy in L.A. that is so beautiful and so spiritual. And so it's just a completely different feel. And then up north, it's like very, very, very high paced and get it done, get it done, get it done. And like the theater and just the energy of New York is amazing. It's so exciting, but it's so like hardcore.
Yeah.
It is. It is for sure. Now, in the years that you've been frequenting the online dating sites and everything, have you met anybody serious yet?
I have dated a guy seriously off online, yes. Mm-hmm. I've more importantly than that, though, it's just, again, expanded me so much as a person. But I have actually dated somebody long-term off there.
Sounds good. And now are you in a relationship now?
I am dating someone right now.
Oh, wow. Cool. But you can still talk about dating and all
I
that
I can
stuff,
because, again, whether I end up with this man permanently or not, I'm learning so much through him. And I met him offline. He's so amazing.
Oh,
I mean,
offline?
Yeah. Wow. No, online. No,
oh, online.
Online.
Okay.
And it's amazing because there's so many things in line, and I feel like, you know, I could have met him at church or anywhere else because, spiritually we're attuned and, you know, educationally we're kind of in the same space. And I date guys who haven't gone to college, who are lawyers, who are not. So I'm all over the place. But with this one, it feels really good. And it's really nice to know that, you know, again, that possibility was online. So I know that it's there for anyone.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I guess being online too, I know you can choose like distance and whatnot, but let's say it is someone that you find that's amazing, that's far away. And I've heard this from other people too. So how do you tell them to How would you give advice to have make the adjustments?
Well, mine is actually long distance. It's a couple
funny,
hours away.
Funny, because I totally felt that up there.
Of course you did. Because we're already vibrating at the same level.
Yeah, it's like sometimes I wonder, you know, aren't there enough people around you that you have to go so far?
Okay, here's the thing, though.
Mine's far.
Yeah, that's true.
I've done so much work on myself that I feel like, you know, I'm almost like in a niche market because I want somebody who, like, you know, spiritually vibrates where I do, you know, work-wise is, like, interested in the same kind of travel-wise. So, you know, not everybody wants to do the crazy
that's
stuff
true.
I want to do.
Right.
That's
so to find that unicorn, yeah. it may not be
way.
Right here.
Yeah.
And I'm not – you know, when I grew up, I was tied to South Carolina. Now – proximity is not my thing. The connection is my thing.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, and I fortunately have the ability with my flexibility in my work and my career that I can make it work. So that's not true for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Or they make the relationship a priority and they change their work. But that's mm-hmm. not necessarily fit for everyone. So.
Right. Cool. Well, we are out of time. Drea Bauer, thank you so much for joining us.
My
the book
pleasure.
Is Mismatch.
And website.
And, yeah, website.
Mismatch.us, because it's all about us connecting.
Woo.
Oh, okay. Cool. And, yeah, so everybody go get the book. I guess it's available there on your website.
If they'll get on the email list, then we'll let them know as soon as it's out. We're working on the publishing deal right now.
Oh, I see. So it's not out yet.
Nope, a lot of free information right now that they can get on the website. Yeah, and they can get on our list because it will be out soon.
Awesome. Wonderful. Well, we're going to have you back because there's so much more to talk about.
I'd love to.
You can be a regular here.
Sounds
nice.
So fun.
Bridget.
Yeah. Okay, Bridgetta, thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Bye.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta is an LA Talk Radio production where we say what we want.